You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
This is the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting. In this first week of December 2025, the Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. The Religious Liberty Report. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. This program is intended to help educate, encourage, equip, and support you in presenting your biblical worldview, in expressing your Christian worldview, helping to help equip believers, churches, on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. We live in a culture aggressively challenging our faith. We know that faith, religion, are sources of controversy. Debates are particularly fierce. Religious liberty, the proper relationship between church and state. On the Religious Liberty Report. As we address the many issues from a Christian worldview, we do so without sacrificing grace, compassion for the world, for the lost. We can discuss the issues without sacrificing love and grace. Brothers and sisters, we must guard against becoming combative, argumentative, confrontational. But God's word tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone, anyone, who asks for the reason that for the hope that we have within us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We have to be prepared to give an answer. We don't know when or where or with whom, but we must be confident sharing our faith. Scripture exhorts us to contend for the faith. Turning to page one on the report, first week of December 2025, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia, blocks Florida City's abortion clinic buffer zone law. The 11th Circuit, this past Thursday, ordering a preliminary injunction blocking a Clearwater, Florida ordinance requiring a 5-foot buffer zone outside an abortion clinic, finding that the city of Clearwater, likely violated protesters' rights by burdening their ability to hand out literature. New York Times reporting college instructor put on leave over zero grade for gender essay. The essay, written for a psychology class at the University of Oklahoma, a student calling the idea of multiple genders, quote, demonic. The student says she is a victim of religious discrimination because a psychology instructor gave her a zero for an essay that cited the Bible, saying that, quote, the lie that there are multiple genders is demonic. The student, Samantha Fulnicki, a junior, follows a series of similar conflicts at colleges around the United States. Turning the page on the report, Florida Court Appeals Court allows the state of Florida to enforce child social media laws. Florida can now begin enforcing its 2024 restrictions on minors' use of social media. This after the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia, lifted a lower court injunction that had blocked the law on First Amendment grounds. In a divided ruling by the court, the appellate panel granted the state of Florida's request for a stay, finding that Florida is likely to succeed in defending House Bill 3, a law that bans children under 14 from using platforms with, quote, addictive design features, requiring parental consent for 14 and 15-year-olds, and mandating deletion of minors' data upon request. Turning the page on the report, Chinese pastor released after 12 years behind bars. Chinese authorities released Pastor Zhang Shuajie, a 59-year-old Christian. He was released from prison on November 16th after completing a 12-year prison sentence. The pastor conveyed great joy over his release after regaining his freedom. Chinese pastor released from prison after 12-year prison sentence. Pastor Shuajie said, quote, coming out of prison during this month of Thanksgiving has been full of God's grace. I have seen the Holy Spirit's presence every day. The pastor also stated that he was deeply grateful for the help and support of the international community, believing that without the international support, he might otherwise not be here today, or might have simply disappeared. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey, highlighted the pastor's plight in a 2017 letter to then Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, thanking God for the release of Pastor Zhang after 12 years in prison. Federal judge orders some Texas schools to remove Ten Commandment posters. In this case, a federal judge sided with families of students who had argued that the displays of the Ten Commandments infringed on their religious freedom. The federal judge ordered public school districts in Texas to remove Ten Commandment displays from their classroom walls, a so-called victory for families who argued that the posters of the Ten Commandments infringed on their religious freedom. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about the Ten Commandments, talking about Chinese pastors released from prison after extended prison sentences, talking about exhibiting grace. On his first trip abroad, Pope Leo, echoing Pope Francis's message, but not necessarily his style. The New York Times reporting that Pope Leo, traveling through the Middle East this past week, channeled many of his predecessor's messages, but was deliberately different in his manner from former Pope Francis. When Leo XIV boarded Shepherd One, as the papal plane is known, for his first international trip just last week on Thanksgiving Day, the world wondered if the mild-mannered American Pope might suddenly reveal something unexpected, an edgy comment or a spontaneous gesture. Instead, Leo returned to Rome after a highly scripted 6-day tour, where he visited Turkey and Lebanon, confirming that he seems more a quiet, stoic, what you see is what you get type of Pope. Composed and humble in his manner, Leo, his traveling style stood in contrast to Pope Francis, who was known for startling declarations and a dramatic flair. I'll remind you that back in 2013, former Pope Francis alarmed the Catholic world when he, on a return flight from Brazil to Rome, he responded to a question about gay priests, and he responded, quote, "Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?" Pope Francis in 2013, when asked about homosexual priests. Let's get into that, shall we? Here are three key New Testament passages that teach us how Christians must judge, but they must judge righteously and exercise proper discernment in the Spirit. First, John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus commands right judgment, not the absence of judgment. When he says in John 7, verse 24, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." John chapter 7, verse 24. Here, Jesus explicitly commands believers to judge, but to do so righteously, not superficially. This passage directly clarifies that Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, "Do not judge," does not prohibit all judgment. In fact, instead, Jesus condemns hypocritical, self-righteous judging, but he affirms discernment, moral evaluation, and testing for truth. Second verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, verses 15 and 16, where Jesus requires discernment against false teaching and false teachers. It reads, "Beware of false prophets. You will recognize them by their fruit." Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. Just a few verses after the "do not judge" verse, Jesus tells his disciples to evaluate, to test, to discern the lives and teachings of others. To recognize them by their fruit is to judge whether someone's actions align with God's truth. Brothers and sisters, Matthew 7 is not a command to not judge, but rather against hypocritical judgment. While we must always pursue proper spiritual discernment. A third verse that teaches us to judge and properly discern, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13. The church must judge those inside the church. It reads, For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom we are to judge? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Paul teaching that Christians must judge the conduct of fellow believers for the sake of discipline, correction, and holiness. In fact, we are commanded to judge. Scripture does not ban all judgment. In fact, Scripture commands believers to maintain accountability and to properly judge. It's a distortion to say or teach that Christians should never judge anyone. This verse, Matthew 7, verse 1, "Do not judge or you too will be judged." This is not a blanket prohibition on making moral evaluations. How are we to read Matthew 7, 1? Well, Jesus condemns hypocritical judgment. He never forbids moral discernment. Jesus himself teaches us to judge rightly. John chapter 7, verse 24. Christians must judge, but with righteous, not superficial judgment. Believers must discern false teachings. And the church is commanded to judge those inside the church, to uphold holiness and discipline. You're turned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of December 2025. Supreme Court appears torn over evangelists' challenge to a protest ordinance. This past week, the Supreme Court hearing oral argument, appearing torn, divided over a Mississippi evangelist's challenge to a city protest ordinance. He was previously convicted of violating this city protest ordinance. Gabriel Olivier, a Christian street preacher, asked the justices at the U.S. Supreme Court to greenlight his lawsuit, questioning the constitutionality of an ordinance that restricts demonstrations outside a city amphitheater in Brandon, Mississippi. Gabriel, the Christian street preacher, claiming that the city ordinance banning his preaching outside the amphitheater violates his religious rights. Gabriel Olivier, a Christian street preacher, before the Supreme Court of the United States, asking the justices to allow him to preach in the open air in front of an amphitheater in Brandon, Mississippi. In response to mass killings, violent attacks against Christians in Nigeria, the U.S. Department of State has announced that the United States will restrict visas for Nigerians who have participated in or supported violations of religious freedom in Nigeria. The U.S. State Department also revoking visas of foreign nationals who made inappropriate statements over Charlie Kirk's murder. Christian relief groups mobilizing after deadly storms impact millions, killing thousands in Asia. Christian relief organizations worldwide rushing to provide assistance after widespread flooding, landslides, killing over 1,100 people and displacing well over 1 million others throughout Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Malaysia this past week. And now, a review of a subject we've been discussing periodically on the report, UAPs, the fallen angels, the Nephilim. Age of Disclosure, a film that came out just, a week ago, featuring 34 U.S. government insiders revealing what they refer to as an 80-year global cover-up of non-human intelligent life, a secret war among nations, major nations at war, racing to reverse engineer advanced technology, supposedly of non-human origin. Age of Disclosure, now on Amazon, streaming, including interviews with former and present U.S. elected military and intelligence officials, as well as scientists and other government actors, some of whom claim the U.S. government has been aware of alien life, retrieving their technology since 1947. At least, since 1947. The documentary argues that the U.S. government needs to divulge what it knows about phenomena formerly called UFOs, now referred to as unidentified aerial phenomena. A sort of red pill being dropped on all of us. 34 U.S. officials on camera, on record, finally admitting. One saying, Jay Stranton, former head of Pentagon UAP Task Force, quote, I have personally seen non-human craft and non-human bodies. Experts, military officers, going on to say that the U.S. has recovered multiple crashed vehicles and biological remains of its occupants. An 80-year illegal cover-up? Unacknowledged black programs. Even presidents not allowed access to. Whistleblowers threatened. Careers ended. Some fearing for their lives and possibly some losing their lives. A sort of secret arms race. One expert describing it as, quote, worse than the atomic bomb, where U.S., Russia, and China raced to develop atomic and nuclear weapons. Now, U.S., Russia, and China again racing to reverse engineer this technology. This isn't leaks. This isn't just blurry photos or footage. This is a chorus, a credentialed chorus of insiders. Assembled in one film, 90 minutes, all saying the same thing. We are not alone. We never were. And the cover-up is collapsing right now, in real time. Streaming on Prime Video today. Watch it for yourself. We're not waiting for disclosure anymore. Some say that disclosure just went live. Well, brothers and sisters, in recent years, in recent months, in recent days, we've seen more headlines. Strange, audacious, bold headlines. Pentagon reports, government hearings, declassified documents, confessions. What we once dismissed as the fantasy of lunatics. Lights in the sky, shadows beyond the reach of explanation. Now, what was once hidden, whispered, is being trumpeted by experts, military brass. Politicians. We are not alone, they say. But let me quote the late John MacArthur, one of my favorite pastors, whom I followed for decades. He says, quote, we are alone. We are alone in the sense that we are the only creatures made in the image of God. We are alone in the moral universe under the sovereignty of the one true God. He goes on to say, there are no benevolent extraterrestrials orbiting some distant star system waiting to descend and offer us peace. This is not reality. This is not scripture. This is deception. And the world is rushing towards that deception with open arms, blinded by desperation. Searching the skies, having rejected the God of heaven, inventing saviors in the stars, despising the Savior who hung on a cross. This fixation, this obsession with aliens, visitations, otherworldly beings, this is nothing new, it's ancient. We find it in Genesis 3, ancient as the father of lies himself. In the New Testament, we're also warned of this the Apostle Paul, telling us it would come, warning us in 2 Thessalonians 2 that a day is coming when God himself will send a strong delusion upon those who have rejected the truth. They will believe a lie. The lie has taken many shapes and manifestations throughout history. Today, it seems to be taking the shape of science fiction. Science fiction repackaged. Tomorrow, it will take the shape of Antichrist enthroned upon the worship of the nations. And this deception works because it parades as the light, as the miraculous, as hope. Revelation 13 tells us plainly, the coming beast will perform great signs from heaven. He will call fire down. He will astound the nations. He will deceive them by false wonders. What we call aliens, ETs, UFOs today, Scripture calls lying spirits, demons, principalities, and rulers of darkness. They have always been here. Not on Mars, not Venus, but here, working in the unseen realm, awaiting their appointed hour. The deception is not the future, it's already begun. What is masquerading as cosmic visitors is in reality the same old rebellion repackaged. A strong delusion. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of December 2025. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, knowing that you have not left us in darkness, but have given us the light of your truth. Guard us, strengthen us, fortify us against the rising tide of deception in this world. Keep us faithful. Keep us watchful. Keep us grounded in your word and in the gospel of your Son. Give us courage to proclaim the truth in love, boldness to stand firm when others waver, and joy as we await the return of our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano with you, reporting by the grace of God. Jesus never promised us an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report, reminding you that the Lord is good. The Lord is a refuge in times of trouble, and he cares for those who trust in him. Nahum chapter 1. Verse 7. Until next time, Alexander Alfano signing off for the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.